My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-commandity manager. Wow. Let's try that one again.
Nope, you're not cutting that.
No, leave it.
Spoonerism just kicked in. All right, let's start over. Too excited. I'm just too excited.
Welcome to episode 107 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the Bratwurst. Just the Bratwurst. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager.
Co-community manager!
I feel like an ass. So, let's just move on.
I'm dead. I can't even right now.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and this is the 20th anniversary of me not wearing pants to this podcast.
Hey, congratulations. Congratulations.
I'm the community.
I really hate pants.
Let it go, Bailey.
I can't.
Don't make fun of my disability.
Okay.
You broke him.
I just thought of a Canada
I'll
joke.
Put it on the front of the episode, I promise.
I'm so Canadian. My blood type is maple.
Nice.
I just thought of that. I don't know why.
You should see a doctor.
I did. I did yesterday morning. I went to the doctor for the first time in my adult life.
What'd he say?
It was a she, and it was kind of
I apologize.
It was a weird experience. Like, she said some stuff, and I was like, okay. Whatever. Yeah. So we'll see.
Good. Yep. I can't remember the last time I went to the doctor.
Yeah,
I thought I was weird for like not going in 10 years, but turns out like that's just how most guys roll. So yeah. Good to know.
No. If I'm not sick, I'm not gonna go to the doctor, which I know is a terrible thing. Cause like I could be sick and just not know. So, like, you should go at least for a checkup once a year. But I just, I've got over, like, 800 games I can play.
Yeah.
So I just do that.
Yeah. Good call.
So, is that me? Is that bad?
No.
Is that bad? Mm. Oh, well. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Have you... perchance played any old video games?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Would you care to speak about that?
I know we talked about this before, and for anyone who has me on Twitter, I bought a Wii U.
Yes. Let's talk about this.
So I bought a Wii U, and I transferred all my Wii games, like the virtual shop games, over.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up playing some World Class Baseball. It's a TurboGrafx game.
That's definitely one of your go-to titles.
I do.
I
love it. It's a great game. I completely suck at it compared to when I was a kid, but it's a great game.
That's what happens.
Other than that, I've been playing Super Mario 3D World, which is a Wii U title.
Yes.
Because it came with the console.
Oh, so you got the bundle pack. Cool.
Yeah, I got that and Nintendo Land, and I'm supposed to get an extra controller as well with it. So it's like, cool.
Wow, so you're like... stacking out.
Yeah, stacking out.
Wow.
I don't have a verdict on the Wii U yet. It's kind of I'm cautiously optimistic.
Good.
Some would say it's it's design flaw after design flaw, but...
Well, I mean, or, you know, it's just a coal waiting to be pressurized into a diamond.
Yes.
So... I think there's a lot of good things
yes.
that can happen with the Wii U.
There is a
I
lot
agree.
Of potential.
Yeah.
But even like just from like even how the menus work in that thing.
Yes.
It's like they got drunk and were just like, well, we got to do something. This shit's got to come out in 3 weeks.
I think it's funny because it's like the Wii U feels like it's so behind, even like the 360 and the PlayStation 3 in terms of UI and menu design and online play, that every time there's an update available, like, I get super excited because it's like, oh my God, what'd they do? Did they fix something? Is like something way cool now? Like, I don't think I would have that if I was like an Xbox One
user. No, because it'd just be like, okay, because, like, another feature.
Because that just works. Yeah. You know.
Now it's, I mean, like, Wii U. Latest update, really. We got folders.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Blades.
Yeah, no, so. it'll be interesting. So cool. I've got some games. I told Bailey I ordered Mario Kart. It's in the mail. I ordered, yep. Mostly using an excuse to play Wii games I never played. So I got the Metroid trilogy off eBay.
Nice.
It's like, yep, I will pay $50 for that.
Holy cow, really?
Oh, yeah, that one's cheap. That was cheap compared to the rest. The others are in the like
cheap?
$70 range.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep. Same as Skyward Sword.
Yeah, I know Skyward Sword is like super expensive.
Yeah.
And everybody I talk to, it's like really bad. So...
Yeah, everyone I've talked to, they've been like, it's no, you should skip that one.
Like, I want to play it because I play Zelda games. Yeah. But
I'm just probably going to pick up Wind Waker HD.
Oh, that one's... Yes.
I love Wind Waker.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah. I'm enjoying Wind Waker more than I did when it first was released, because okay. I guess I didn't really understand like what was going on. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Like, just the whole idea of just the story in general, because like they always try to wrap it around like, oh, there's this hero and you are the ancestor of this hero and blah blah blah. Wind Waker, it's just like, so something really crazy happened a millennia ago. We take this one day when you turn a certain age, you wear this green tunic for a day, we celebrate, we have cake, and we go on with our lives. And that's all, that's exactly what the story is, except for his sister gets kidnapped, and then suddenly he's on an adventure, and he's already wearing the cloak, so it's like, well, I might as well keep it on. You know, this tunic fits. So, like, I love that.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I understood that the first time I played it, but going back and playing Wind Waker HD, I was like, that's so beautiful that it's just this kid, just this kid. Random kid, you know, and it's like he's showing like true courage to go above and beyond to fix things. And it's, I don't know, it's crazy.
Who was it in grade? Let's say I came out when I was in grade 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
We had a school newspaper in our high school.
Yeah.
I remember this one jackass reviewed Wind Waker.
Okay.
But he only got up to the point where the sister's kidnapped. And he based his entire review on that.
That's like 15 minutes in.
Yeah, he only played 15 minutes. He's like, oh, this is stupid. You just have to rescue your sister.
Wow. That's this upsetting.
Awful. I was like, no, that's not it.
Sad.
Yeah, he's a jackass.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I kind of played an old game.
Uh-oh. Sort of. Sounds Bailey-esque.
Well, no, because I played a video game.
Okay.
That totally happened. The game that I played is called Donkey Kong Doom. Have you seen this?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So, for those who don't know, Donkey Kong Doom is this creation of Donkey Kong Country, using sprites from all three of the Super NES games. But it was recreated using the Doom engine, like the original Doom engine. And it's a brand new adventure. The demo's out right now. There's only like 10 levels or something like that. It's just the weirdest thing to play a Donkey Kong Country game knowing that it's based on the Doom engine. Like, it's still side-scrolling, it's still platforming, you can still pick up barrels, there's bonus stages. But, like, the actual platforming and the levels are a very three-dimensional-esque look. So, like, when you're walking by, like, you can see, like, the platform that you're on is 3D, and it's kind of, like, transitioning as you walk by. It controls like crap, obviously, because it's... Well, one, you're trying to play a platforming game with a keyboard, which is just... That's a big no-no, if you ask me.
It is. That's just... It's bad news.
But, like, I'm playing this game, and I'm like, why? Why does this exist? Like, why did somebody sit down and was like, you know what? I love Donkey Kong Country. I would love to play more. I could make my own levels. What do I got? Let's see. I don't know, you know, C++. I don't know Java. I don't know. But I have this Doom engine that I can create levels in. And it's, I don't know, like, it's the beauty of just, like, one dude chilling in the basement for hours on end, you know, just creating this monstrosity and releases it and says, hey, check it out. Look what I did.
How deep can our hobby wormhole go?
Oh, man, it's up there with collecting retro phone books.
Definitely. Just vintage, baby.
So,
what you play, yeah. Bailey?
Donkey Kong, dude.
Not only did I not play an old video game this week.
No, it's not like we don't have a show every week. And have like had.
You've consecutively now missed more weeks where you haven't played a game than I have collectively in the last two years.
Yeah. So, Bailey, tell us about your Baileyism.
Yeah. Tell us about your phone game.
Tell us about your phone game that was 8-bit inspired with multiple colors and a single sprite.
Yeah, no, it's not even the phone games that make it bad. This was a milestone for me. This may have been the first time in my retro gaming life I looked at my collection and I was like, I might just sell it all. Like, it's Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just taking up space.
I know what you got going on.
I had the idea. I didn't do it. I was looking. I was like,
"Oh no, I'm here." Trust
me. You're there.
Sorry. He's just speechless.
Your thing just looked frozen.
A little bit. Yeah, I'm completely speechless. Oh my god, not tonight! Please stop. Wow.
I mean, Jason bought a Wii U. I'm thinking about selling all my Nintendo games. It's just been a weird.
Are you, like, wanting to become, like, the Atari legend? Or
I don't know. Like, I don't want to replace them. Like, I just want to...
The Atari Lynx?
I just want to get rid of them. Closing
you want to go digital?
I don't even know. Having an existential crisis.
Damn.
Well, here's a piece of advice. Because I went through that 10 years ago. And it wasn't because I was just like, you know what? I just want to sell this. I was like, I am about 10 grand in debt right now, and I kind of need some money now. And I just started randomly just selling stuff on eBay. Like, I think I sold Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2 for the Dreamcast original releases, $25 total. Ugh. Like, that's how bad I needed money. And a friend of mine stopped me and said, look, I have money. I will buy your games. I'm not going to play them because he's not that big of a gamer. Hmm. He's like, look at it as like a loan. You give me your games. I give you the money that you need. When you have your money back, just come back to me and I will sell them back to you in a heartbeat.
Huh.
Like, no BS. No, let's wheel and deal. No, there was interest. None of that. It was like a, let me give you these 300 games that I have. Give me the money that I need. And then when I'm ready, I will give you that money back in exchange for those games. So it wasn't like a loan or anything. Like, he wasn't lending me money. He was buying my shit, you know?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
So, for like, because you're going to want them back, trust me.
Sure.
Or at least a few of them.
Part of it is money, yeah. I mean, that'd be nice. But another part was just time. Like, I just haven't had time to play them. It's just like, they're just sitting there.
Right.
And,
you know what?
I don't know. Just a thought.
If it's not a money thing, keep them. Because you're definitely going to regret it. Because
you're
right.
Especially with storage or something. Skin them out of your face.
Yeah, especially once you have a kid. Because once a kid hits like 2, you're going to be like, I wish I held all this stuff to play with them.
I'm so conflicted on that because I don't want my kid playing video games. I don't
want
kids. Like, kids suck at video games. They just get frustrated and cry. It's stupid. Kids shouldn't play video games.
Yeah, but it's going to be your kid though.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be really good.
Well,
like, especially
she can play
at,
when
like,
she's
World
like,
Games.
I don't know, like 9? Yeah. Yeah,
Track and Field.
That's true.
Clue Land.
It's like, don't get me wrong. It was never like a 50-50 I might sell. It was more like it was a fleeting thought. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I had the fleeting thought was like, whoa, did I really just have that thought?
Yes.
It was a weird place to
Damn.
Be.
Damn.
So, I mean, I can honestly say that I'm more open to giving games away or trading people or than I've ever been before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's kind of the same reason. It's like I've waited 10 years to put my games on shelves again, and now I got them on shelves, and it's like I kind of want to do something else with them now. Like I just want to
Yeah. Like
you know.
Like I still love retro gaming as a thing.
Yeah, it's never going to stop.
Like yeah, it's not like I don't believe in the hobby anymore. It's just
all right.
Just that's my weirdness.
Weird.
We have a listener email discussion question, so that's awesome.
Totally gonna happen.
It was like this. Greetings, fellow gamers of the past. Longtime listener, multiple question asker, and music contributor here. We have all experienced rage at games over the years to the point of throwing or smashing controllers, breaking discs, or in one case for me, and I am not making this up, biting a controller until it broke, playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and NES during that damn level. What I want to know is this. Instead of any physical rage over a game, have you ever found yourself saying rather bizarre or humorous things while playing? One I have caught myself saying is, oh, go ahead and kill me. It's not like I wanted to finish the level or anything. Or, this game sucks. I'm going to make a sandwich. This could cause some humorous discussion, so have at it. Peace, love, and retro gaming goodness, Jake McClanahan. You can find him on Twitter at NeoJakeMCC. Mixy. So yeah, Mixy. Funny stuff you said while playing games. Go. That's a pretty good one.
I mean, other than the occasional curse word, I kind of relate it back to like being in an argument with a significant other. Like there's that one word you just say over and over again. And mine is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So to put it more in context, so I'll be playing a game and it's like, oh, this is perfect. The perfect example, NFL Blitz. With their shitty catch-up mechanic. You know, like if you spin too many times, like if somebody deflects you, you fumble the ball. And it's like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Throw a pass, it gets intercepted. Unbelievable. That's my go-to word.
Yeah, I'm the guy who like tries to have a conversation with the game. Like if I'm intensely frustrated, I'll be like, are you serious? That doesn't make any sense. There is no reason it should be programmed like that. This is I'm trying right. to like have this intelligent discussion with the game. It's not. Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
Right.
I will say though, Jake, you act like it's normal to break controllers when you're angry and bite them.
It's most certainly not.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no, we haven't all had that moment.
I've never broken
it. I mean, a game and you're so angry, you break the... That's no, Jake, that's bad. You need some help. You have some issues, my friend. I mean, I've gotten, like, don't get me wrong, I've gotten intensely competitive and angry at games, but biting us? No, that's... It's crazy sauce.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
I just tend to question things when I get pissed off at games. Yeah. Like I'll say really over and over again. I was playing Mario today. There's a section where you have to, I don't know, it's like trapeze type thing. You have to jump and swing next. So I'm jumping from one to another, and Mario decides instead of grabbing on, he lands on the bar and then jumps right off.
Yeah. Mm.
And
sense.
At points like this, I just say, really? Really? And I just start questioning, like, the stupid programmer who decided, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to leave this bug in.
I
this right here?
Teenage
yeah, this is
me,
Stan.
Teenager Bailey yelling, come on! That was on mine, too. If you really want to, like, grind my gears and get my goat and chafe my monkey in a game, what you want to do... is have one boss, not the first boss, not the final boss, just some boss in the middle of the game that's completely different from everything else in the game and requires
a
sudden new set of skills and pattern detection that you've had no preparation for, and it's completely broken, and it's a disaster, and it takes you an hour to repeatedly try and beat this one stupid boss that, ooh, it's whatever. It's not innovative and different. It's just putrefyingly frustrating. That's what gets me. I can't think of any good examples, but I think you guys know what I mean. It's just,
really,
what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim 3D had the Elvis whipping level. Not that anyone played Earthworm Jim 3D, but it just went on and on and on. Like the level takes like 20 minutes.
Right.
And heaven forbid you miss one whip. Oh, start the level over.
I'll do some, like, when I was going through, like, my gotta play all these Zelda games phase, like, 6 or 7 months ago, and I was like, you know what? I never played Oracle of Ages, never played Oracle of Seasons. I'm gonna play these games. And then I got to the point in Oracle of Seasons where it was like, oh, take this letter and trade it with 15 people before we allow you to continue. And I'm like, nope. Not doing that.
I hate those
turn
letters.
It off.
It's nope. Like we gotta pad it out in this section.
Oh, it's like, oh, I have to go clear across the map to swap out this pearl for some guy's eyeball. Oh, good, good. Yeah, that's what I want. Oh, and all the enemies are gonna spawn, but oh, perfect. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this.
I feel like Resident Evil games are guilty of it. They have that one creature feature where it's like, oh, no, can't use your regular guns, knife only for this one.
No, your hands are poisoned. You can't pull the trigger. Yeah. Oh, good. No, yes. No. That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. Perfect.
Get in the minecart.
Thank you, Capcom.
Get on the boat. Use a harpoon or a stick or a rock. Screw you.
Yep.
A whole different mechanic. Super Mario Brothers 3. Whenever I sit down, this just happened a couple weeks ago. I mean, I did play it recently and forgot to mention on the pod. Point is, Super Mario 3, I can blaze through. I mean, you've played the first few levels like hundreds of times in your life.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go through. I get all three warp whistles. I warp to World 8. I get through the first few levels. I get through the grabby hands and the cheap lava. And I get through the next. Then there's that fast scrolling airship platforms level.
Yeah.
And it's the same progression. The first time through, you're feeling good. You're feeling, like, cocky, trying to just jump through like it's nothing. And one of those flamers just from the edge of the screen just kills you. You're like, oh, okay. That's cool, whatever. So then you're still, like, having fun. You're just playing pretty lighthearted, just bouncing along. Then you just miss a jump. You're like, what the hell? So you go through your items, and I only have two maple leaves because I'm not playing all the levels. I'm just warping through because
right.
I need that raccoon tail for the so far. So then you're like, okay, this level's getting annoying. I'm going to carefully get through this. So then you're being careful. You're slowly descending through the falls. You're dodging the wrenches and the cannonballs and the flames. And you're like, whew, you feel relief because you get past the two difficult parts almost at the end, and you hit the edge of a platform, and then Mario like fumbles and slides down.
Yeah.
And you're like, I am going to murder people. And it's a wonder you don't kill someone.
I think for me, like, recently, like, with all these remakes and reissues and of games and stuff, and it's like, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this game. Resident Evil for the GameCube, the remake. Like, probably played Resident Evil 1,000 times. Never beat it. Just, I play through as far as I can. And I'm like, I'm bored. Like, I don't care that these sharks are trying to eat me. I don't care. Like, I'm done. I've had my fill. But I remember playing the GameCube version, and they added a gameplay mechanic that was not in the original. And that was the Crimson Head zombies.
The Crimson Heads, yes.
So I remember the first time I saw one, and, like, I'm shooting it. I'm like, why isn't this guy going down? And he comes and just rips my face off. And I'm like, what the hell is that? what is that? Like, and I'm like looking around, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting in my underwear in the living room. It's like nobody's there, you know. And it's like, what the hell are you? Like, where did, what is it? And it's like,
how many of these are there gonna be?
Yeah, like, and then I'm reading it. I'm like, that's why? Why? That's so. Now I've got to stop and burn. Nope, nope, not doing it. Nope. Sorry.
Good one. Oh, one more example. I'm a kid playing through Kirby's Adventure. I'm like probably a young teen. It's the summertime. I can stay up all weekend, whatever, playing through. Easy game, kids game, playing through. Get to the sword fight boss. In hindsight, love him. Love it. As a kid, though, I died like 8 times. I was like, what is this?
Nobody.
You I start, can't choose like, the power I want to be. Like, I have to get in a freaking sword duel with this guy who's jumping all over the edges of this.
You start like, no, nobody could do this. This is impossible.
Yeah,
no.
Nope. Right?
If I can't do it, nobody can do it. Nope. This is impossible.
But you can't turn the game off. I've been playing for like 6 hours straight. Why would I stop now? I can't just suddenly stop. I'm in a groove here. And then you're like, no, I'm turning it off. I'm sleeping. And then you can't sleep because you're so angry. And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
See, now I actually want to play some more video games.
Yeah, me too. I really want to try to like see how fast I can get through Super Mario Bros. 3 now.
I want to play Comic Zone and get stuck on that stupid part where the walls are closing in.
Well, no, because I know what I'll do. Like, I'll start speeding through Super Mario Bros. 3, and then I'll get to, like, the speeding boat, and I'll be like, I don't know why Bailey was complaining. This is easy. And then I'll just start dying, and I'll be like,
you would.
Just look.
I challenge anyone, play Super Mario Bros. 3 right now, and I bet you will die at that level at least once. Just because the ones of you that are out there that are really, really legitimately super good at the game are going to be so cocky, it's going to throw you off. You're going to be like, holy crap, he's right.
Yeah.
You know it's true. So, yeah, good question, Jake. Like, man, it's not about the words you use to express your frustration. It's about the experience of that frustration.
It's about the onomatopoeyas.
Yep. Yes.
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia.
Batman!
Batman.
All right, now
we'll
stop.
Yes.
So, we got a music break, maybe?
Yeah.
Music break. Back. That was Apple by Xylo. A happy little chiptune track with some resonant synth, very reminiscent of the Codemaster games on NES. It's a free download.
Mm.
Check it out if you like it.
Codemasters.
Speaking of very reminiscent of the Codemaster games on the NES, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, which has not been revealed to anyone else before this moment, and then we just kind of spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least, our arguments will make you laugh and bring additional meaning to your otherwise pathetic life. So, 2 episodes ago, our theme was communism games, or games that somehow exemplify communism in some way. And let it be known, I took home the gold medal on this one. Dr. Mario yes. cleaned house. So, I won.
I'm sure.
Screw you guys. Battle Chess and Star Trek Armada just couldn't hold up to the task.
We cheat.
Suckers.
Jeez.
Right. Looking forward to tonight's theme. I actually changed my choice of game last minute.
Ooh.
Just a couple hours ago, I was like, no, I'm going to go with something else.
No, this is totally going to happen.
I haven't done that in a while, but I really feel this one now. I'm real happy about my choice. So tonight's theme is Star Wars games. And Jason, when you have 1 minute on the clock for me, I think I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, then you may begin.
This game is a perfect blend of fun action and challenging difficulty. It crosses boundaries of genre and expectations. Full of treats for those who enjoy Star Wars, or for those who just enjoy a good video game. It's a game that I actually never had, but I knew multiple people who did. It was fairly popular, and for a reason. It's an outright classic in the 16-bit realm. It is Super Star Wars, released for the Super Nintendo in 1992. While you loosely progress through the plot of the first Star Wars film, the game has plenty of surprises. Giant creatures that never actually appear in the movies, the opportunity to play as Chewbacca, and crazy blaster upgrades. So needless to say, Super Star Wars is a great video game, and I think it's a great choice for this week's Retro Showdown.
All right.
Whoa.
Bam. All right, Hunter.
Whoa. Yes.
Are you ready?
Well, I didn't write anything, so I'm just going to read the Wikipedia page.
Cool, that's what I do.
I mean, it's... No, I'm going to, like, read it verbatim.
Oh, good.
Because it sounds like something I kind of would write, but not really.
So, much bigger words. You may begin.
All right. Released September 1998 for the Windows PC. Ooh. It's Star Wars Behind the Magic, an interactive CD-ROM created by LucasArts. It was designed as an in-depth look at the Star Wars trilogy and features even a preview for Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. It's Behind the Magic. Did I say Behind the Music first? I don't know.
You got 30 seconds.
All right. Behind the Magic is spread over 2 discs. Among their features include a detailed look at the Star Wars trilogy, details of the characters, locations, and technology, and a look at the making of the movies. Several games are included as well, including a trivia game, and even an area where you can test weapons on a stormtrooper. That's right. It's Star Wars Behind the Magic.
Wow.
For the Windows PC.
All right. Well.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess I'll be a jerk and I'll start.
Pod Racer episode one.
Episode one.
Rogue Squadron. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah.
Shadows of the Empire.
There we go.
Ooh. No, please go, Jason. God, please go.
Any day now. Any day now.
Do you like spaceships?
Yes.
Do you like Star Wars?
Oh, I love Star Wars.
Yeah, I do. I really deeply.
Would you love a game that combined your love of spaceship and Star Wars?
Probably not.
Then this game's for you. Developed by Factor 5. It's Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3.
Yep.
Rebel Strike.
Aw. It's cute.
While it features a single-player campaign, much like the other two, this game is the first to introduce multiplayer co-op. In fact, you can play through the majority of the second game's story with a friend. It's like having two games in one. Fly an X-Wing, an A-Wing, a TIE Fighter, even Darth Vader's Advanced TIE, which had a hyperdrive. It's Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3 for the GameCube.
There you go.
Wow, I have so fun, many guys. Contentions with both of your games.
Wedge and Tilly.
Both of your games!
Wedge and Tilly's. I just like, really, you know what? Pilot. I'll do the opening shots. I'll fire first.
Did not score that well. Surprisingly.
Yeah, you're gonna do the opening shots there?
Yeah, I'll do the opening shots.
Oh, we're doing a podcast.
Bring it Hunter.
On. Yes.
You pulled a Bailey.
What?
And you brought a non-game.
No, mine has game. It's a game.
Yeah,
nope. No, it's not.
It's a behind-the-scenes look.
You definitely
there is a trivia game. Mine is actually a multiple of games, much like your game, Jason, Rogue Squadron 3. There is a trivia game and a game where you shoot weapons at a stormtrooper. So that's two games in one. So I don't know.
Literally on Wikipedia, it says genre behind the scenes.
It is. There are interactive parts.
Super Star Wars
game.
Genre, run and gun. Star Wars Rogue Squadron genre, action.
See, Hunter, calling your program, your software, calling it a game is like calling Windows a game because it has Minesweeper on it.
Yeah.
Windows?
No, Minesweeper would be the game.
Right.
Much like Star Wars Behind the Magic, the trivia. Game is the game. I mean, it has so game in the title.
So did you bring the trivia game from Star Wars Behind the Magic?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I brought Star Wars Behind the Magic.
You're a dork.
Including the trivia game.
It's an
interactive CD-ROM.
Shooting weapons.
Even when you click on
Mayor
genre behind the scenes,
right.
It brings you to a page that defines movie behind-the-scenes features.
Right, but I mean, that could be the game, too. I mean, I'm sure we've all been, like, watching regular TV, and you got your little Nest Zapper there, and you just start shooting people on screen randomly, you know? That's a game, because sooner or later it's going to line up. It's like listening to, like, Pink Floyd's, you know, The Dark Side of the Moon while, you know, watching Wizard of Oz. Like, it syncs up. In some parts, and when it does, it's beautiful.
It does,
and that is a
true.
Great game to play.
It's like saying, you know, this edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica can be stacked in such a way that it can serve as a youth soccer goal. Thus, it is a game.
You too
use that's a part
this
of
interactive CD-ROM as a frisbee. Thus making
you
it a
need
game.
You need Star Wars Behind the Magic to be able to shoot weapons at a stormtrooper. To play that game, you need Star Wars Behind the Magic.
You, too, can use an ordinary brick to hold contests with your friends to see who can throw it farther.
That is a game.
But the brick is not a game.
It's not a retro video game. But you need the brick to play the game.
You know, Hunter,
right?
I do congratulate you because Jason many episodes ago, passed the torch to me to be the guy who brought non-games. Mm-hmm. And I embraced it pretty hard for a while.
Pretty hard.
But this is truly, I mean, this is, you're really making a play for it.
There's a trivia game. I wanted to bring Yoda stories, but Jason already brought it. Because I actually put, sadly, after he brought Yoda stories, however many episodes it was ago, I will honestly say I put quite a bit of time playing that absolutely terrible game.
It's awful. It's so bad.
And it's because it reminds me of Chip's Quest.
Which is horrible.
Chip's Challenge. Damn it.
Yoda story, Chip's Challenge, whatever.
Chip's Challenge.
So his game sucks.
Yeah, his game's bad. Way uber difficult for no reason.
Yeah.
A lot of cheap deaths.
Yeah.
It is neat playing as all the characters. I will admit that.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
But
I think it was. Now, is it neat for the time or is it neat as a game?
Well, I don't think it was ever neat for the time. So. Star Wars games have a strange story. It's an interesting history that they have because they've been around. I mean, Star Wars has been around forever. Video games, it came up around about the same time. And there's a bunch of Star Wars games that are like, you know, the vector graphics. And then you have like the Atari games and stuff like that. So when the NES came out, they made Star Wars. And it was awful. It was really, really bad. So when the Super NES came out and they made Super Star Wars, you were expecting an upgrade. You know, you were expecting much, much better.
Should be
and
Super.
You got that. Yeah, you were expecting Super. And you got that with Super Star Wars. You got that with the music and you got that with the graphics. But when it came down to gameplay mechanics,
no, it was good.
It was like hitting somebody in the face with a rubber chicken. It was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty. Oh, gosh, it sounds great. And it's still terrible to play.
No way.
Look at all these broken mechanics.
Super Star Wars is super fun.
No.
It doesn't seem like a thing that lends itself well to a run and gun.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
definitely
not a fast-paced Contra style hit you in the face with run and gunniness running.
No, and that's fine.
It's a classical, like, it's a really solid game, guys. It has precision jumping portions.
Mm.
It manages to combine the effectiveness of you can use a lightsaber at some guys.
A couple of times. I mean, I didn't know that a lightsaber had batteries and could run out.
Yeah.
That
was
new to me.
That's real. That's real.
That's I didn't know that Leia could like continuously float through the air with all of the bad programming and glitches that are in the game.
Yeah. It's Princess Toadstool all over again. It's princess power. You get to float.
Is that what it is? It's just a princess thing?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. You're not a princess. I mean...
No, that's true. I would love to be a princess.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Jason.
Yeah?
Rogue Squadron 3. That's what you brought?
I brought Rogue Squadron 3.
Why'd you bring the third one?
I brought the third one because... You know what? I'll flat out say it's not the best Rogue Squadron game.
Correct. No, it's not.
The series went out on a sour note after Factor 5 got shut down. But I think the fact it has multiplayer co-op that lets you play through all but two levels of the second game more than make up for it.
Yeah, see, I think that's the worst part of the game.
Yeah, and you said in your intro it's the first game to introduce multiplayer co-op?
No, I didn't say the first Rogue Squadron game.
I think...
The first Rogue Squadron game.
No,
sure.
Let Bailey do his thing.
Pretty sure! The first game to have multiplayer co-op was Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on the NES. I mean, duh. Come on.
No, that's not right either, is it?
No, I don't think that's right either.
I'm just going for the punchline here, guys. It's so clearly at least older than Rogue Squadron 3. It's
just, well, I know, but I think Contra came out way before then.
Oh, yeah, but that's
well,
not...
Then
that's
wouldn't
a,
that
it's
be
like the classic awesome right. choice. I was going for obscurity, and it's a little bit
Yeah, because Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is so obscure.
Compared
Come
to
on,
Contra?
Man.
Am I wrong? Is it...
Maybe.
I feel like people know DuckTales better. Like, that's not obscure.
I don't know, man. It's so convoluted now.
Okay,
it's...
yeah. You're right.
I mean?
It's not it's not obscure among retro gamers per se.
Right. Well, I think there's different levels of retro gamers now because there's like
and obscurity.
Us,
yeah,
who were born into it and lived through it, so it wasn't retro until it was just too old and you had to call it something. And then you have people who came in late. They may have been born at the same time, but they came in late. So it's always been retro to them. And then you have like people who are much younger than us who are now just discovering this stuff for the first time, who grew up with maybe like the N64 or PlayStation 1, stuff like that.
And you can make like a matrix out of experience versus attitudes. Bad and good and new and old, because like there's new people to the retro gaming scene who recognize they're new and it's cool. They're like, oh, I'm learning, this is great.
Yeah.
And then you have like people who have been in the retro gaming scene forever, but they're cool and they're great and they share knowledge and they play with people. Then you have like the people who have been in the scene, they're pricks about it, and they're like, oh, you don't have a copy of Nintendo World Championships, or you're a loser. I'm not gonna bother talking to you. You're an idiot. You can't get to the kill screen on Pac-Man or Donkey Kong. You worthless piece of crap. You don't know how to, you know, whatever.
This is starting to sound super personal.
Yeah. And then there's the very worst, the people who are new to retro gaming but still act like a dill hole. Like when we're at Indie PopCon, we're all sitting there, and like, there's guys who'd come up and play some game, like one of our games that we brought and we've owned for probably 20 years, and they're trying to tell us stuff about it. They're like, yeah, I know how to beat this boss. Here's the trick. And we're just like, really, dude? Like, really, really?
Yeah. No, I think like the more that I talk to people, like from our kind of generation when it comes to like video gaming, like we're a lot more, what's the word? I knew I was going to forget it. We're a lot more, we're a lot more okay with things being bad.
Yeah.
Ooh,
because like when we were kids and we were playing these old games, like we thought they were great.
Yeah.
Right.
There was no internet, which meant we couldn't know any better and there's nothing better to do.
Right. And then as we got older and played more games and more games and more games and more games, then we went back to play those older games that we played when we were kids. We were like, wow, this really isn't as good as I remember, but it's still really good.
I still kind of like it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can forgive. That's what it is. We're very forgivable. Forgivable. Like, yeah, you know, like there's a lot of, like Beetlejuice. Man, yeah, like there's a lot of bad things with this platforming game. But it's kind of neat when you get towards the end and suddenly it's like a top-down perspective. You're not expecting that.
True.
And it's Beetlejuice. Like, Beetlejuice is cool. Don't you like Beetlejuice? Like, this game's not that bad, is it?
Actually, like, come on. I think it is worse than people think. But Beetlejuice, I understand what you're saying. Beetlejuice.
Yes. So, so Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it being a two-player game actually is probably the worst thing about it.
Of all the genres to make a co-op, really like a piloting game? Like I want to strap into the cockpit and go on the mission myself. Like I don't need a wingman like that.
You can still
who
do
wants
that.
To be Goose. Nobody wants to be Goose.
Yeah, no. But you want to be Wedge.
Goose goes down.
I don't know. I don't.
Goose goes way down.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Okay, yeah. In case you haven't seen Top Gun, Goose dies.
I've never seen it, but I know he dies. So, I know there's some volleyball.
All I can say is probably some of my worst experience in video gaming happened while I was playing with somebody else.
Fair enough. That's why I want to
correct you there, Hunter. Actually, all you can say is co-manatee mutager.
Come on. I can't help it, man. Okay, I have a speech impediment called spoonerism, where I flip syllables of two words
it's
without knowing. It's called spoonerism.
Oh, I do that. I do that sometimes too. I'm just better at disguising it. You just gotta.
Oh no, like it's chronic for me.
I've done it twice during this podcast.
Like I've gone back and re-recorded me saying things in this podcast. So it didn't sound like I was an idiot. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I've done it quite a bit. I'm not going to lie. And so, you know. What are you going to do? So, Jason, this is going to sound terrible.
That's fine.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I've never actually played Rogue Squadron.
What?
Yeah.
Any of them.
I believe I owned the first one for a small amount of time. And then something happened. It got sold or lent or more than likely sold.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just don't... Being a rebel, that doesn't... Flying... I'm just not big... On, I mean, flight simulators, man.
It's not like a flight simulator.
Isn't it, though?
No.
Isn't it?
No.
I mean, one of its biggest hooks is, look at all these cool Star Wars ships you can fly. And it's like, I don't care. The Rebels suck. Like, I don't want to be on the losing team.
You know what I mean? If you get the chance, play Rogue Squadron 2.
Play the second one.
Yes, that's the best one.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with... I mean,
the first one's good. The first one, when you go with the N64, controls are a little wonky.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's a PC version, but I don't think you'd play the PC version. Plus, you can't find it anymore.
Hmm.
So, if you get Rogue Squadron 2 for the GameCube, check that out.
Yeah, I don't know. That stuff never appealed to me. Like, I never. Anytime I watched Star Wars or played any of the video games, like, the last thing I want to be is Luke with the Rebels. And I really don't want to be Wedge.
Nobody wants to be Wedge, yeah. Jason. You're wrong.
Just I mean, Wedge Antilles, like, he's kick-ass in the books.
Yeah.
Just because he's there from basically start to finish and watches the rise and fall. And that's amazing. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm not a Sith or Darth Vader... I don't know what we're doing here. Like, what's the point of this?
There's two Vader levels in the game.
That's it? Just two? Because you know Jedi Unleashed, it's all Vader.
Yeah.
I got Vader right here.
His name is Wedge, which is an object that divides, like a divisive thing.
Yeah.
Should tell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's wedging the good and the evil, and he's just mediocre.
Yeah.
Right. Much like Rogue Squadron 3.
And I swear the storm is cutting me out to the most inopportune times.
That's all right. You brought Super Star Wars, so it doesn't matter. You don't have a set.
Yeah, you bought a crappy remake of a really bad NES game.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's all it was. It was an HD remake of poop. I mean, you could put lipstick on a pig, but it's still
not crappy, and it's not HD. So
even the designs don't make sense. Like, you're fighting the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
You're fighting a pit, but it's a worm, and it just looks like the worm from Dune.
Correct.
Yeah, the creature designs are amazing. They're totally non-canonical.
Or why would unimaginable, I think is the word you're looking for.
Why,
unimaginable.
Why would I want to play a Star Wars game that's not a Star Wars game?
Right. Yeah. I mean, just because it was made by LucasArts, it doesn't make it a Star Wars game.
God.
I mean...
What a piece of shit. You
know, I'd play Yoda Stories.
I'd take that back. Yeah, I'd play Yoda Stories first.
Yeah. You kidding me?
I should get a Yoda Stories tattoo.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
That's an awful idea.
What would the tattoo even be? Like, just like the box art, or?
I don't know. Maybe just like little sprite Yoda. Yeah, that'd be kind of actually cool.
I mean, like, I'm going to get like the Imperial symbol tattooed on my body sometime soon.
I'd get the menu system, like the really clunky, like Chips Challenge ripoff menu.
Ah, but Chips Challenge is so good. Such a fun game. Super Star Wars doesn't do anything for me, you know?
Every time I played it, I just kind of wanted to not play it ever again.
Well, you try to play it, and then the game says no.
Yeah.
No. It's you like, are not... No. You are not playing this. You suck. I'm sorry. And it's like, oh, wow, this game's really hard. Maybe the difficulty's up really high.
Yeah.
And then you realize, no, it's just because it's bad game mechanics, bad platforming.
It's not bad.
Size.
No, it's not bad.
It's pretty bad, Bailey.
It's pretty bad.
That's a general fact amongst the community that this game is pretty terrible.
It's definitely something I don't want to play.
Pretty bad. Wrong.
Never again.
Nah.
I think I made my case pretty clear in the intro.
I'm just saying.
Experience of playing it solidifies.
At least
it's better than playing an encyclopedia.
Well, my game has deleted scenes from the original Star Wars, A New Hope,
before it was even titled. Did you bring the trivia game? Or are you seriously trying to contend for the encyclopedia?
It's a total package, Bailey.
Oh.
It's a total package. It all comes together.
Suck
it's all
my
on the disc.
Package, Hunter.
What? Like, wow. Data packet? Or like
yeah.
a sugar
yeah, that's fine.
Rocket pants?
Rocket pants.
Hey, man.
I just renewed that domain name, just so you know.
Are you
it's just,
I was like, we really
on
need
audit.
To do something
it's,
about this. I'm paying
yeah,
for
like,
it every
we
year.
We gotta do something with it. So we gotta do. It's just pointing to onemorecastle.com right now. So it's like
we
it's
just
not doing
need
anything
to get yet. Andrew to program a cheap, stupid app we can sell for a dollar, like Flappy Bird, but something even stupider.
Just rocket
addictive. It has a high score, and just sell it. At, just final arguments, guys. Okay. Hunter. Why
yes.
should anyone vote for your
Star Wars
computer
behind
disc?
The magic is a multitude, a cornucopia, if you will,
cornucopia.
Of Star Wars magistrates. Not only do you get the amazing trivia game and the check out these cool weapons you can shoot a stormtrooper with, but you also get the entire script, how the movie was designed. It's the bonus features of a game you've always wanted that no other Star Wars game has. Deleted wow. scenes from A New Hope. Star
Amazing
Wars behind the magic.
This trivia game will blow your mind.
It
this
will.
Trivia game will melt your face. It's extreme.
It's bonus
Jason.
Content you don't have to unlock.
Why should anyone vote for the black sheep of black sheep?
Is that right?
Because
your game is like the gray sheep of the series.
Because it's What's still better than Super Star Wars.
It's true.
All right, apparently you shouldn't vote for my game. So whatever, that's our showdown! If you want to have your question featured on the podcast, send it to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Just a reminder, we do broadcast 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. We tweaked the link to the live stream of the recording at the One More Castle Twitter account. Shout outs to a few of the live stream viewers who commented as well. Edward Varnell, Jonathan Higgins, Brent Dresky, MDK822, good to see you as well, and apparently me. So shout out to me, yep.
and
shout
me.
Out to me,
and
me. Hunter, any particular shout outs, plugs, generic allergy medications?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com, and I don't have allergies, so I'm not aware of any allergy medication.
Nice. Jason, any particular shout-outs, plugs, or really awful food combinations that only your demented mind could come up with?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'll give a shout-out to our Steam group, which you should join. Find us
yes!
on Steam, One More Castle. And in terms of food combinations, I want you to take a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of horseradish sauce, and I want you to glaze some apples, bake them at 300 degrees, and then you have some lovely horseradish apples.
That sounds disgusting.
That doesn't sound good to me. Mayonnaise
no,
and
that
apples?
Sounds so bad.
You asked
Wednesday.
Me the first thing I could think of.
Good job, sir. I give you some applause. Wednesday, October 22nd, we have a community gaming night. If you Google community gaming night, onemorecastle.com, you'll find out that we're playing Team Fortress 2 together. We're going to have our own server and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. Community gaming night, Wednesday, October 22nd. Be there or be somewhere else.
There.
Like that. Elsewhere instead. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Always wanted to die. We're officially at the point in our podcast career where
doing the suicide
number for the episode just seems surreal. Like whenever I type in 07. It's like, holy crap, like, really?
Imagine looking at all the folders with all of the, like, recording tracks and all the editing and,
We're at that point. Every week it's unbelievable to me. It just seems strange to, it's odd. And listeners, viewers, audience members in general, just do me a favor and remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.